Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you. I'm pleased to welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we are delighted to bring you this broadcast through the medium of CJMQ Radio. The radio broadcast makes us accessible in so many ways, but we would be delighted to have you access us in person at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke. If not with us, then we'd encourage you to connect with some other fellowship which brings you the good news of Jesus and enables you to participate in the life of his people and in the service of his church. Psalm 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me.
I will call.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and yet you come to us afresh each new day. You breathe new life into what has grown tired and discouraged. You offer healing for what is worn and broken. You restore hope when things seem impossible. You are the source of life and love for all your creatures, and you renew us to put our love for you into action for the well-being of your creation. And so we worship you. You're our Creator. You're our Saviour in Jesus. And by your Holy Spirit, you strengthen the lives of all who believe and trust in you. Merciful God, we confess that we've strayed from your purposes. You set a path for each of us to follow, but we conform to the ways of this world. You give each of us gifts to use for the work of your kingdom, but we wait for others to do what needs doing. Forgive us for taking the easy way out, and renew in us the eagerness and energy to serve. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free by God's generous grace. So let us make a fresh start today. Lord, you're the source of all wisdom and understanding. Amid so many competing voices, let us hear your word for our times. Send your Holy Spirit to us to help us discern your will and follow the path Jesus sets for us as your living word. Amen. We have followed the story of Jacob these past weeks, and if we read on, we would get the story of how Jacob's 12 sons, including Joseph, he of the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, found themselves in Egypt. From Exodus chapter 1 at verse 6, we pick up the story. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. And then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. And then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" And the midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. And then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. "Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." What's in a name? How did you get your name? How did you come by the nomenclature by which you are known today? Perhaps it's an inherited name, the name of some great aunt or uncle or grandfather or grandmother in the family, or somebody else who's been a good friend of the family. But somewhere along the line, you'll have looked up in a dictionary of names to explore the meaning of your name. Sometimes in the Bible, people are given a name to live up to, something like God is great. And other times people get names to live down, not my people, or something like that. Today we begin a brief look at some passages from the story in the book of Exodus. And when you think about where the Exodus story begins, most of us tend to believe it begins with the story of Moses. That's the name it begins with. But I want to suggest this morning that it didn't begin with the story of Moses. It began in a different place, in a surprising place, in a place with two other names that has lessons for us all. In a conversation I had this week, I spoke with someone who could tell me who it was who delivered them 60-something years ago. It was a beloved family doctor who tended the family in all its moments, including childbirth. The name was to the fore on that person's lips. But we find two names up front in chapter 1 of Exodus, and it was the name of two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. Their job was to bring life into the world, but Pharaoh wanted them to do a dirty job, to bring death. Exodus chapter 1 verse 11, the Egyptians put slave masters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar, and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. How often the people had cried to God. For centuries they'd kept the story of their faith alive, yet God seemed remote and distant. Was he not going to come? Where was the rescue? Where was the story of deliverance going to come from? These were times that were evil. And that was a text that arose in our midweek fellowship this week from the prophet Amos. There are those who oppress the innocent, take bribes, and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Perhaps these feel like evil times for you. Maybe on a global scale when we're faced with catastrophe and disaster, but perhaps also in your personal life, within the small sphere of your own being, in the environment in which you spend your days and pass your times. That God seems remote and distant, your prayers unanswered. Where is God in all of these times? These are moments and times when it seems that our faith is under attack. It's always seemed strange to me that militant atheists who set religious faith at nothing seem so determined to exterminate to the last moment every shred of faith. Is that because they're living in fear of our faith? Certainly the king of Egypt was living in fear. He said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it's a boy, kill him, but if it's a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Here is a response of faith to the evil of these times. The king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" And the midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." And so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. What was God's intervention? What was the timely word that arrived in the midst of darkness and discouragement and God-forsakenness? It was in the words of the midwife, not in the spectacular or the supernatural, but we'll get to that in time, but in two women who took faith in hand, and when they were required to do something by Pharaoh, had the faith to say, "No, no, no." Where did that faith come from? Well, that faith came from a fundamental conviction that while there was a Pharaoh, there was a God above Pharaoh, that while they must give an account to the human authorities and powers, they must give an account to one over all human authorities and powers. They feared God and they said no. They remembered the story of Jacob, of how God could take the story of Jacob and weave it and twist it into his purpose. And they had a faith that God had a purpose, even in these times. And they said, "No, it is better to obey God than the word of men or women." Where did that faith come from? Yes, they heard it from times past. But maybe it also came from one another. These two midwives, Puah and Shiphrah, each had the other. Puah had Shiphrah and Shiphrah had Puah, and together they strengthened one another so that when Pharaoh came calling, they could at least say to each other, "We'll go together." When the times are dark, it takes faith in a greater God than the pharaohs of our age to say no. But it also takes fellowship. It takes the encouragement we draw from one another as we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. The church together bears witness and faith in the God who is bigger than the gods of this time. And so in the names of these two ordinary women, Shiphrah and Puah, preserved for us 3,000 years, we have the story of how God uses ordinary people to say no when no needs to be said.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light.
Let us pray. The psalmist said, "Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Lord, there is so much sorrow and so many things to grieve us in our world. Help us, Lord, as we weep for all the suffering around us. For the people of Morocco, reeling from the catastrophic earthquake, a death toll of nearly 3,000 people and more than 5,000 incurring injuries. For Libya and all her people, as they continue to search for more than 10,000 missing people after massive amounts of rainfall caused destruction. We grieve for those touched by hurricanes and storms on our own shores at Nova Scotia as Hurricane Lee came ashore. God of earth, water and sky, you are with every living being impacted by these natural disasters. Infuse the survivors with strength and courage, for their journey will be long and hard. Cradle those who grieve with the loss of their loved ones, homes and freedom." And what we pray on the large scale, we pray for ourselves on the smaller scale. We find ourselves, perhaps our foundations shaken by some moral earthquake or other. Perhaps we find ourselves caught up in a flood of secularized, empty, barren thinking that says our God is not there. Perhaps we grow weary as we watch the way of the world. But we thank you that you are with us, that you have given us one another in the companionship of faith and in the fellowship of the church. And supremely, you've given us Jesus. Jesus, who has shown us your power and who has delivered us even from the darkness of death itself. For every blessing you've bestowed on us in him, we give you thanks. We're surrounded by your goodness in him, and you've given us in him the hope and prospect of a future by his glorious resurrection from the dead. In a world that seems to ignore you, it's in him that we find truth and grace and mercy, and our hearts are grateful. And so we ask that you hear us as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Patience still with thee, in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in truth that triumphs over wrong. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.